Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, September 17th, 2007. And you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. I know a lot of you have questions about sexual performance issues. Hey doc, what's the best sexual position for butt fucking? How do you give a really great blowjob? I want to try spanking, but where do I begin? You know, stuff like that. Well now, you don't have to wait for me to respond to your pressing query. Just mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let some of the experts show you how it's done. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, wonderfully enriching, and extremely informative videos right there on your computer screen. How sweet is that? I have a really luscious show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. This is a free, no pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. Looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Let's begin today with a couple quickies. Gretchen, 28, writes from California. She says, Dr. Dick, I get off on making out or having sex in public places. Is this illegal? Am I sick? All depends, Gretchen. Most jurisdictions, particularly there in the beautiful Golden State, would probably wink at a couple making out in public. I suppose you'd be pushing the envelope if the make-out session included having petting or nudity. As for full-on sex in public, come on, honey. A 28-year-old female who cannot discern if fucking in public is illegal or not needs to be in supervised care 24/7. You're not sick, dearie. You're retarded. Good luck. Kip is next, 24, from Georgia. Is it weird if I can suck my own dick? Sometimes I do when I'm really horny. Reminds me of the old joke about two guys sitting around shooting the shit when they notice a dog over yonder licking his balls. One guy turns to the other and says, gee, I wish I could do that. And the other guy says, gee, you think the dog's going to let you? Kip, is it weird that you can suck your own cock? Dude, it's every man's freaking dream. If we could, none of us would ever leave the house. Listen, anyone who is limber enough and or has a big enough dick to blow himself wins. In my humble opinion. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, Tomasz, 64, from Budapest. Are there any vitamins or minerals that will increase the amount of ejaculate? Thanks. Your site is very nice and provides a great service. Hey, thank you, Tomas. What a sweetheart. Thanks for your kind words. There are loads and loads of companies out there who claim to have products that will increase the volume of a man's ejaculate. But when I search the web for products that promote male sexual enhancement or potency or whatever, I do so as a big fat skeptic. That's how everyone should go about such a search. If you keep your eyes open and look beyond the pseudo-medical babble, you'll discover two very important things, just like I did. First, every site I visited advertises their product as a miracle medical breakthrough. As if. Often, there is a testimonial or two from some doctor MD or some doctor PhD who substantiates the claims being made. We never really discover who these professionals are, what their credentials are, what schools, if any, they are attached to, but we are encouraged to take their words as gospel. Why? Well, because we all know that professional people would never knowingly try to hoodwink us. Exactly. And if you buy that, we have some swampland in Louisiana for you. Each site also claims that the product that they hawk has undergone rigorous clinical studies proving its efficacy. But they never actually cite any of the studies in question, or where these supposed studies were published. Here's a tip. If there is a cited study, and that study was sponsored by the company that produced the product or is published by them, well, then you know you're in trouble. Second, inevitably, each product makes the most outlandish claims. Take this one, for instance. I'll not disclose the product name, but its actual copy from one site. It says, "Product X will intensify ejaculatory contractions due to the strengthening of the vas deferens muscle. Increased volume and release ejaculate. Produce faster recovery for second orgasms. Improve semen quality. Produce more satisfying orgasms due to increased contractions and ejaculate. Improve prostate health. Improve erectile dysfunction caused by diabetes. Increase sexual well-being and fertility. Cure cancer. End world hunger." Okay, I made the last two up. One has only to look closely at the claims to realize they're hogwash. Because they don't really tell us anything other than the product in question might somehow improve something that may have something to do with male virility. The same could be said about a glass of water. Listen up. The truth is, you can probably do just as well with a modest daily intake of zinc or lecithin supplements. For some, these nutrients have a noticeable effect on the volume of ejaculate produced, and they are a whole lot cheaper and easier to get than the trumped up stuff you see online. Keeping yourself hydrated will also increase the volume of your spunk. It just stands to reason. The more hydrated you are, the easier and more efficiently all your glands responsible for secreting watery substances like your prostate and seminal vesicles will have getting water from the bloodstream. If you're dehydrated, your glands will not have as much water available, and subsequently, you will spooge considerably less. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? It is 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Who's up next? Ah, yes. Sophia, 54, from Arizona. She writes, "You are sick, Dr. Dick. I believe that porn is a sign of weakness in men and women. They cannot control their needs and put their personal relationships in harm. It's degrading toward women, and it gives off the wrong messages to men about women. Porn is very harmful in people's daily lives. Relationships come to an end because men's porn addictions. Men have lost family, wives, girlfriends, etc. because of porn. Men find themselves defending it so much that they end up losing the people in their lives who do not agree with it. What does porn leave them? Nothing. Lonely nights with no one by their side but the PC full of nasty images. Porn leaves men lonely and pathetic. Men are destroying their lives to make porn filmmakers more wealthy. What a great exchange. So nice of you to drop by, Sophia, and thank you for being so solicitous about my health. Yes, I was sick. I had a little cold there for a couple of days, but I'm much better now. Oh, wait. You're saying I'm sick because I don't share your repressive opinion about pornography. I get it. You're another moral crusader who needs to denigrate those who don't share your beliefs. What is up with that? You know, the thing is, darling, I actually share many of your concerns. A lot of porn is harmful and exploitative. It also can be very disruptive to people's lives and can cause serious damage to otherwise healthy relationships. I mean, how difficult was it for you to come up with that critique? Taking pot shots at porn in this sex-negative culture? It's like shooting fish in a barrel. You need to get over yourself, girlfriend. And you know what else, ma'am? All the things you accuse porn of being harmful and exploitative, disruptive, damaging, otherwise healthy relationships, you could say about organized religion, the fast food industry, our government, the credit card industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, the war machine and its horrific profiteers like Halliburton, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Hell, everything humans touch has the potential of becoming harmful and exploitative. It's the nature of the beast. Even your own tirade is harmful to and disruptive to those of us who are trying to make a difference in the adult entertainment industry. Trust me, you would have made a much better case if you had just said you wanted to help change the status quo in porn, not just point out its inherent flaws. And what's all this? Porn leaves men lonely and pathetic. Are you suggesting that you're the alternative? Perhaps if we weren't so bitchy and condescending, your men wouldn't turn to porn. Your abrasive personality and moral rectitude would drive the Pope to porn. Oh, and have a nice day. Next! Suzanne, 25, from Auckland. Should a woman fake an orgasm to keep her partner happy? Now there's a brilliant idea, Suzanne. Rather than help an ineffectual lover overcome his inadequacy with the truth and a little tutorial on how to make you come better, lie to the monkey about his sexual prowess. I see nothing wrong with that. Other than the fact that when you're done fucking him, or he's done fucking you, the next unlucky woman he happens upon will have twice the work. She'll not only have to tell him the truth, that he sucks as a lover, but she'll also have to contend with his inflated ego. Thanks to you and the deception you practice, he'll be convinced that he's a fabulous lover when, of course, he's no more than a Neanderthal. What could be wrong with that, Suzanne? Doe? Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Emily, 28, from Texas. How much should I tell my new partner about my sex life with my exes? How about just enough to get his dick hard? Hell, I don't know. Some guys get off on hearing all the gory details of the sexual exploits of their partners, albeit it's a relatively small number of guys. Just keep in mind that most men would prefer the bliss that is ignorance. If you've been around the block a time or six, maybe you best keep that to yourself till you find out how much the new guy can stomach. Good luck. Philip, 31, again from Texas, this time Austin, he writes, Dr. D, I've never had a problem with my sex life up until now. My wife and I have been very happy with our physical relationship, but about 8 months ago, in a very vivid nightmare, I dreamed we were making love, and when I came, the ejaculate was blood. I came blood. Everything in the dream stood still as I watched, almost like a third person, as my life flowed out of me. I woke up in a sweat, and we've not made love since. We've talked about the dream, tried to be intimate, but I'm simply unable to enjoy the contact anymore. This is someone about whom I care deeply and with whom I am deeply in love. We're considering professional help, but I would like your take. Interesting. Yet another case of how one's psyche can override his eroticism. This is nothing to be toyed with, Philip. Like an earthquake, this vivid dream has jarred you out of your happy, healthy sex life with your wife. And like one who has survived an earthquake or a similar natural disaster, you need to put your life back together again as quickly as possible. I encourage you to seek a sex-positive therapist to help you break the spell of this nightmare. The longer you let this thing hang out there, the more perverse it will become. Good luck. Now, Lorenzo, 33, from Italy. I can only get off by squeezing my cock with my thighs. I've done this for as long as I have masturbated. I only found out years later that you should use your hand. But this doesn't work for me. Is this normal or common? Lorenzo, what you report is neither normal nor common. But do you really care about normal and common if this technique works for you? And what the fuck is normal anyhow? Statistical normalcy? We can forget that as an arbiter of things sexual. Apparently, your masturbation technique isn't any less effective than those who employ a more common practice like using one's hand. Basically, there aren't a whole lot of shoulds when it comes to the style one employs to squeeze one off. And in your case, I mean that literally. If you're squeezing your cock with your thighs and that works for you, well, knock yourself out. Since you don't report that this method is getting in the way of you enjoying partnered sex, I think you should just leave well enough alone and enjoy your uniqueness. Good luck! Next, Sam, 22, London, UK. Dear Dr. Dick, I'm a young gay guy, and when I masturbate, I am able to achieve orgasm and ejaculate. But when I'm with another guy, I do not come. Don't get me wrong, I have a great time during sex, but my partner doesn't get me off. This is not a person-specific thing. This has been happening to me since I was 16. Call it delayed ejaculation if you will, but it's more like non-existent ejaculation. The weird thing is, I don't mind myself. The foreplay and sex is totally hot, and I'm happy as a clam with how it is. But my partners have always been frustrated and disappointed, as if ejaculation is the official mark of success to show the culmination of a great fuck. So they keep trying until they get tired, which I guess is inevitable. Is this something I should be worried about? If I'm otherwise okay with sex, or should my partners be less concerned about the orgasm and just realize that it doesn't matter to me? Many thanks and kudos for your very informative site. Hey, Sam. Thanks for your kind words about the site. They're much appreciated. As to the issue you present, it's not particularly uncommon. Many people are unable to or choose not to get off in partnered sex. And there are several very common reasons why. Without going into detail about that, let me just ask you one thing. Are you able to masturbate yourself to orgasm when you are with a partner, like you can do when you're alone? If so, maybe you could incorporate that into your sex play, and maybe that would satisfy your partner. It's true what you say about some people thinking a sexual encounter is only successful, and I use that word in quotes, if both partners shoot. That's nonsense, as both you and I know very well. There's no necessary connection between ejaculation and sexual satisfaction, just like there's no necessary connection between an ejaculation and an orgasm. If you cave to that way of thinking, you won't help your misguided partners, and you will be adding a great deal of performance anxiety to your own sexual encounters. Nobody wants that. Stick to your guns, Sam. Good luck. Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, we have time for just a couple more quickies. Lenore, 27, Illinois. Whenever I have sex with anyone, it could be the hottest guy on the planet, I always imagine I am with someone else from the past. The guy in question was the first guy I ever had sex with. We only did it once, and I never saw him again after that. I was 17 in high school, and he was 23 in the Navy. Now, if I don't imagine this guy, I can't achieve orgasm no matter how good the partner I have is making me feel. I'm having a good time, I lubricate like crazy, but when it gets down to it, I have to think of this guy or no orgasm. Can you give me some advice on this? Are you suggesting that what you're describing here is a problem? Or are you just making a point and asking me for my thoughts on the matter? I hope it's the latter, because I don't see that your fantasy life is getting in the way of you enjoying your sexuality by yourself or with a partner. On the contrary, your fantasies are enriching your sexuality. You're able to fully enjoy sex, even to orgasm, with the help of your recollections of the guy who popped your cherry. Kudos to you, darling. As for what goes on in your head during sex, well, that's nobody's business but your own. Unless, of course, you want to tell your partner what's going on in there. Everyone enjoys sexual fantasies as an integral part of their sexual expression. And rarely do those fantasies include the person right there bumping parts with the person doing the fantasizing. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, why would you want to leave your largest sex organ, your brain, unstimulated while your pussy is having such a good time? Why not just enjoy what works for you? Good luck! Finally, Kevin, 30, from Delaware. I would like to know why gay men and lesbian women have fetishes, turned on by certain body parts. I'm turned on by feet and by men wearing all types of boots and all types of socks. Please reply with an answer. Thanks. You know, Kevin, fetishes are not just a gay and lesbian phenomenon. All kinds of people have fetishes. Fetishes come in all sizes and shapes. Body parts, clothing, hair color, racial fetishes. particular sex acts, sex toys, to name just a few. There are a few plausible explanations for these behaviors, but the one I prefer is that all sexual expression is learned. In other words, we don't come out of the womb already programmed to respond one way or another to a particular stimuli. Everything we eroticize, in your case feet, footwear, and socks, is a learned behavior. I suppose that if you had time and inclination to retrace your steps, as it were, you'd find a specific time and place where you first began to fetishize these things. Sexologists, the people who study human sexuality, say that there is a specific pleasurable connection of one sort or another with everything we find erotic. Some fetishes develop later in life, some start when we are children, or even infants. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you will be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come flooding out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one of my weekly sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I did there. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. You know, the beautiful part about this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For more information, contact me at drdick@drdicksexadvice.com. That's dr_dick@drdicksexadvice.com. Hey, and look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under health, subcategory, sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.